Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Thomas Halliday. His book is Other Lands, taking us back and back to 500 million years ago and more. We go now to the Cambrian. This is a present-day fossils in China. And the scene is set by Thomas's magical writing. The land was desolate and dry. There was an extreme greenhouse world. And we're looking at what was happening underwater, in the sea, in the vast sea. Thomas, you report that all modern phyla were present at this moment right now. So all of what we are is descended from here. Where should we look? Should we look at the fish? Should we look at the sponges? The worm-like worms, where do we come from?
Well, during the Cambrian, this is classically thought of as the Cambrian explosion, where you get the first representatives of all of the phyla. So a phylum, in a biological sense, is really a group that shares the same kind of body plan. So of vertebrates as a whole are a phylum. So the phylum that includes fish and you and me and reptiles and birds and frogs and everything else with a backbone. And so some of the earliest vertebrates are here at the time. So you've got things like Hycorhynchus, for example, which is this very simple fish-like vertebrate, but also several sort of wormy creatures that will eventually give rise to arthropods, to those insects and crabs and lobsters and so on. And at Chengjiang, we do see representatives of most of the modern phyla. I think I'm right in saying that there are no echinoderms, which is a group that includes starfish and sea urchins and so on at this place, but that's a preservational issue that sort of... their bodies have just simply not been preserved at Chengjiang, but are known from elsewhere around in the world. So, I mean, it depends really what you want to ask.
All right, I've got a thing for apex predators, so I'm going to go to the one for the Cambrian. Omnidens, what was it? The apex, you report apex predator.
Yeah, Omnidens is one of the biggest organisms around at that time. So if you imagine a 6-foot limbed worm with grasping feeding appendages at the front, then you're probably horrified, but are reasonably close to the idea. It's been described by Jakob Winter, my colleague at the University of Bristol, as being like the Sarlacc in Star Wars, you know, the being a desert dwelling worm. And yes, Omnidens is it is an arthropod. It is I'm looking up for more details here.
I've stopped counting how many legs. Are those legs? Or are those sensors? And it has a sweep front. It looks like one of the villains' spaceships in Star Trek.
You know, it does a bit. They are legs in the sense of being used to move around. I think it has 24 of them, and its mouth is this sort of circular array of spines that it would then bring out, evert, in order to grasp the prey and bring it in. And it's this kind of grasping, this predation. You talk about having a thing for apex predators. The Cambrian is the period when predators really come to the fore, and you have the first predators. Before the Cambrian, it's a relatively sedate world in which organisms don't really tend to affect one another too much in terms of food chain. But as soon as you get into the Cambrian, you begin to get organisms that are eating one another. And we can Jennifer Dunn is an extraordinary scientist who has done a lot of work on reconstructing the food chains at Chengjiang and working out that organisms like Omnidens and also swimming predators like Anomalocarides are at the top of this food chain. And a lot of the biology that comes afterwards, the origin of eyes, is a direct result of predation. Why do you need eyes? Why do you need to detect light? If something is suddenly going to change around you, and one of that might be if a predator is coming up to you, or if you are a predator, to detect your food. It's the first time that we get armor in the fossil record. So we get the hard shells that then allow organisms to be protected, the hard teeth that allow organisms to break through that armor. So, and this is why the Cambrian ends up being seen as this explosion, really, because it's the first time that you get hard parts in the fossil record, which allow organisms to be preserved far better.
Right before the Cambrian is what is known as the Etacaran, 550 million years ago. And I learned from Thomas that the moon was closer, much brighter. So the creatures that were at the bottom of the sea would imagine this world coming closer and closer to this other world that was dead. And we learn again creatures which are magical because they're so strange. This is before or maybe predicate of the Cambrian explosion. Thomas, what is an Eandromeda?
Well, I mean, what is an Ediacaran organism is one of the hardest questions that you can ask. Ediacaran organisms are ones which exist in this pre-Cambrian period. But for a long time, scientists would say there is no life before the Cambrian, until suddenly we discovered there was. And a lot of these organisms are morphologically completely different from the body plans of life that happens after. So Eandromeda is named because it has this kind of spiral shape, and it reminded the scientists who described it of the Andromeda galaxy. And so there are those that think that Eandromeda is a relative of the type of animal which is known as comb jellies. So these are soft marine organisms that today float around in the dark and emit beautiful sort of fluorescent lights and use those to lure prey. Whether it is a relative of comb jellies or not, it's almost certainly an animal. We are pretty confident that a lot of these Ediacaran organisms are, or were rather, animals, although it's only relatively recently that we've had good evidence of that being the case. But it's this time which is sort of peaceful, and at the sort of origins of diversification of a potential future of, you know, what kingdoms of life exist.
Is the stromatolite, it's a mat, you report a mat on the floor of the sea or the ocean, is that headed towards becoming a plant? I mean, can we talk about plants and animals at this point?
We can talk about plants and animals. So there are, stromatolites are a bit distinct from the mat. So at the bottom of the sea, the sediment is loosely held together by what we call the microbial mat. It has this kind of elephant skin texture. It's essentially, you know, nothing is living beneath the surface, really. Burrowing hasn't started yet. Swimming above in the water column hasn't really started yet. But the microbial mat is a sort of the way that the microbes hold together the surface of the sediment. Stromatolites are mounds of microbes that then sort of grow into these sort of boulder-like structures. And they are not ancestors of plants. And there are stromatolites that are still alive today off the coast of Australia. So it's a way of life that has persisted for 500 million years. Plants do exist in the sense of there being, there are red algae that are known by this time, particularly in a place called Tamendo in Brazil. There are these sort of forests of algae, and organisms like Dickinsonia, which look a little bit like, a sort of pineapple slice that would move slowly around on the seabed. That is certainly an animal. We have evidence of cholesterols, and which are uniquely animal chemical. So yes, we can tell the difference between plants and animals at this stage.
I thank Thomas Halliday, the author of the new book, Otherlands, taking me on a journey through Earth's extinct worlds. It's a joy to consider. I recommend highly. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.